Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn to that, please. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read two verses. Galatians 5, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, my title to the message today, and something I think that we all probably need to work on as Christians, the spirit of long-suffering. The spirit of long-suffering. To start off with, let me read you just a couple of passages of Scripture that mention the word long-suffering. It would be interesting if you jot down a reference to read the story that revolves around the verse that I'm reading from. First one is Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Numbers 14:18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. Psalms 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Boy, I'm glad for that verse, aren't you? Jeremiah 15:15, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long-suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Then in the New Testament, Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Romans 9:22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Galatians 5:22 we read, but Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to live to life everlasting. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 1 Peter 3:20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When I read that verse, I think about the politicians that are trying to guide us away from God's word and God's truth, and I pray, Lord, I hope they soon get saved. I hope they know the truth. And 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now let's get into our study, the spirit of long-suffering. Here in this chapter, in Galatians, we are given a couple of options. We can do the work of our flesh, or we can walk in the Spirit. You have to study that chapter out and see that's exactly what it's saying. Galatians 5:18, it says, Galatians 5:18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's not the reference I wanted. I'm trying to find it here. Oh, it's actually 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It goes on and lists them. But in Galatians 5:22, you see something here, and I want to bring this out to you. But the fruit. Now, what's the difference between where it said the works and the fruit? In Galatians 5:19, works is plural. In 5:22, fruit is singular. So works, this is the behavior or attitude of the flesh. But fruit, singular, is the act of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life as they walk in the Spirit. It doesn't refer to the fruits of the Spirit. It refers to the fruit of the Spirit. There's a difference there. Now, we get to this long-suffering. What in the world does long-suffering really mean? Remember what I told you, how important words are. How important words are. Long-suffering, that means forbearance and patience. How can we put that in simple English? To put up with or to endure. That's what long-suffering is all about. In other words, the individual or individuals possessing the power to avenge, but you don't. You refrain from doing so. So the ability to endure a massive amount of heat from trials and people without boiling over in avenge. Think about God, His mercy and long-suffering to us. Aren't you glad for that? Amen? Amen. Some of those passages we read, go back in there and dig into it. Read the story where that verse right is in the center of the story and see what it's really talking about. When I think of Bible illustration of long-suffering, one individual comes to mind all the time when I think of long-suffering. You know who that is? Joseph. Joseph and his brothers. I mean, just think about it. Joseph, first of all, personally, I think he was a spoiled brat. And I think he was aware of that, too. And he enjoyed it, for most part. But his brothers hated it. And what did they do? First of all, they were going to kill him. One of them talked the rest of them out of it, so he was sold into slavery. So here you have Joseph, when dealing with his brothers, when he finally came to the point where he had the opportunity to deal with them, and by the way, he possessed the power to avenge himself, but he didn't do it. That's long-suffering. There are several reasons why we should be long-suffering. Let's look at them very quickly here. First of all, number one, it's demonstrated by God. Who is our example, really? I know Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But who is the ultimate one that we should follow? Christ himself. He sets the standard. If we follow him, we have a lot more success than if we don't. Look very quickly here, back to Psalms 86. We have a lot of scriptures we want to look at, so let's move along. I know we're having communion after this service. But Psalms 86 and verse 15 says this, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now we're going to reread a lot of scriptures we did at the beginning, but that's good for us to remember what the scriptures tell us. Here's another one that I think is very interesting. In fact, Brother Dan touched on this the other week, some time ago. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and what we want to look at is verse number 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Well, what's going on here? Well, these were martyrs. They were martyred for their faith. And they're asking the Lord, "How long till you avenge our blood? How long is that going to be?" And of course, we say, when we think about this, you know, we're locked into time. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. We're locked into time. The school where Marianne and I are the teacher's aide, the principal of that school had a birthday just on Friday, it was. And, of course, birthdays come up. And one time something came up about birthdays. And, of course, they always, the younger generation, they look at me and they say, "How old are you?" I don't know why they want to ask that question, but I usually don't always tell them the truth, or I try to avoid it. But birthdays, and they celebrated that principal's birthday. But when we think about God, we're locked in time. But when we think about God, what comes to mind? God, one day is as 1,000 years to him. That doesn't mean anything. You know, we're looking for his return. And we're hoping, man, it would be great if it was today. Right now, that would be wonderful. But no man knows that. And, you know, that's all in God's timing. But with him, one day, 1,000 years, that don't mean anything to him. But there's no way that we really can comprehend that and what that means. And that's part of his sovereignty. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9-15 speaks of the long-suffering of God to usward. We won't turn to it, but in fact, we probably already read one of those verses. God, we are told, was long-suffering, and we read this verse in 1 Peter 3:20. God, we are told, was long-suffering in the day of Noah while the ark was being prepared. How long was he long-suffering? How much time did he give those people to receive Christ as their Savior, to turn to God? 120 years. And at the end of 120 years, the only number that showed up on the ark was what? 8 people. But God in his mercy. And by the way, what do you think was going on all those 120 years that Noah was putting this thing together, and the people are walking by saying, "No, what are you doing?" "I'm building a ship." "For what?" "Well, God told me he's going to destroy this earth with water, and I'm getting ready for it, and you ought to get ready too." Now they're going to the neighbor. "Hey, you know the nut, Noah? He's building a ship in the middle of nowhere. And he says that we're going to get a flood," and then didn't have rain before that, I don't believe. And in fact, I know they did. And he says the earth is going to be flooded. And they're laughing and having a good time, having parties, living it up, walking by in their drunken stupor, I'm sure, and say, "Hey, look at the nut there. Hey, Noah, how's it going, buddy?" 120 years. But then it came to the end of the long-suffering of God. and things change. You know what I often picture in my mind? After the water started to come down and all of a sudden they're starting to lift the ark. I know there was a lot of pounding on the side of the ark. A lot of pounding. Noah, it's Joe, remember me? I was your neighbor for, 30 years. Open up, let me in. You know, if Noah would have had the power to open the ark, he probably would have. But you know why he couldn't? God was in the business of closing the door and sealing it, and Noah couldn't open it. Couldn't. Yeah. So, 120 years. Romans 3:25, Paul says, through the forbearance or long suffering of God, we were granted the forgiveness of sins. Wow. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul speaks of his experiencing of this long suffering that God bestowed upon him. Number two, first we had it demonstrated by God. Now we have it's displayed by godly men and women. We already touched on that a little bit with Joseph. We already mentioned Joseph. Matthew, we won't turn to all these scriptures, but I hope you'll jot them down and look at them because of time and having a communion. At Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, the prophets of old were long-suffering in their persecution from others. In times past, I've mentioned already the prophet Jeremiah. In fact, he also wrote the book of Lamentations. They called Jeremiah the weeping prophet. And not only was he touched in his heart and soul for the lost souls, but also the children of Israel. And if you read Jeremiah and study his life, you will find that the enemy of the children of Israel treated Jeremiah better than his own people did. And you read about different prophets that were abused by the people that God had sent them to speak to them and to preach to them. Now, this might shock you, but every time a preacher gets up and he preaches a message, it doesn't matter whether the people have been here for one day, 10 years, 15 years. Not everybody, after every message, thinks, boy, wasn't that wonderful? I believe you actually have some people say, why did he bring that message? They don't say, I stepped all over their toes, or the Holy Spirit stepped all over their toes, but why'd he bring that up today? Now, it's not visible. Well, sometimes it is, but that's the way it goes. But Hebrews 11, verses 35 to 37, where it says, consider those that endured such torture and trials and torments. It talks about them. We still have the map up there about the different nations all around the world where Christians are persecuted. Some of them, horrific things happen to them. In our book, in our study of the seven churches of Revelation, where we passed out, and there's still some left over there, about the 10 emperors that persecuted the church. Read some of that. And what they did to Christians. And they made it a spectacle, gathered in Colosseums by the thousands, and put the Christians out there and let the lions loose and saw them devour the Christians, and people were cheering that it's going on. Or maybe they would put the gladiators out there, and it wasn't like the boxing matches today and the fake wrestling matches. They brought them out, and they didn't just beat up on each other. They would fight unto the death. And if the one guy knocked him down and he stood there and He was looking at Caesar, whoever was in control, and Caesar would tell him whether the guy was going to live or whether the guy was going to die. And if the leader did this, gave him a thumbs down, he was supposed to kill that man. And people are cheering in Colosseums. We have a lot of people cheering today about the wrong things and things that sometimes you have to scratch your head and think, boy, I wish there was a course in high school and in college that they would teach common sense. Second Corinthians 6, 3 to 6, Paul's testimony as a minister of God. Let's turn to that. That one I want to turn to. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 6. We'll start reading at verse 3. Give me no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. There it is, Paul speaking about the ministry. 2 Samuel. We don't have time to read this one, but I hope that you will this afternoon or next week. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 to 12. It talks about a man by the name of Shemaiah. David could have had Shemaiah killed for cursing him, but he didn't. And what does it often say about David? Now, we know everything about David. We know about the horrible sins he committed, but God knew the man, God knew the heart, and God refers to him as a man after God's own heart. David could have had him killed, but he didn't. Then we come to our third and final in our list. First of all, let's back up. We said it was demonstrated by God. We said there are several reasons why we should be long-suffering. Demonstrated by God, displayed by godly men and women, deposited in us by the Holy Spirit. Deposited in us by the Holy Spirit. What we are given by the Spirit of God is the character of God. Now, we go through life constantly battling, either yielding to the Spirit or yielding to self. And you know which way goes better, yielding to the Spirit. I know nobody ever did this but me, but sometimes I yield to the old nature. And that usually leads in the wrong direction. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, it is Christ living in me. Christ living in me. Because we are given the Holy Spirit, we are also given the ability to be long-suffering. You can't do it on your own. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at, let me see if I got this reference right. You know how that computer is. Sometimes it makes mistakes. I don't, but the computer does. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Here we go again. Who's our example? Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is not here in person anymore. But what did he do and what did he tell the disciples and tell us was going to happen when he went back? I'll not leave you comfortless. I will send what? The Holy Spirit. And the minute you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why I believe with all my heart, if you truly are a child of God and you receive the Holy Spirit of God, there will be a difference in your life. Now, maybe when you receive the Holy Spirit at age 7, it might not show as much as there's been a change as you received the Holy Spirit at 30 or 31. When you didn't always follow Christ, but there will be a change. I always think of Caleb's illustration. He told on himself, you know. I'm not telling anything that he didn't say out in the open. I don't know what words I want to use before he got saved at a young age, but his mother could probably tell us in very distinct words what he was like and the change that came when he received Christ as his Savior, even as a young age. Look at him today. And I don't say this kiddingly. An example. Someone that other people can look up to. As a father, as a husband, as a man who serves here in the local church. Amen? There it is. Following Christ. That's who gets all the glory. Jesus. Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Going to say it was in my Bible yesterday. It has to be here today. Colossians chapter 1, look at verses 10 and 11. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. You know, there's a sense, I believe, since we are salt and light in the world. Now listen to this statement. I believe this attitude of long-suffering may be the difference between someone perishing or accepting Christ as their Savior, observing you, watching you, and finally coming to the realization, and maybe through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that there's a difference in you. What is that? Boy, seems so joyful, even in the midst of all that's going on, and so much peace, a lot more peaceful than I am. What is it? What's the difference? What's in here makes a difference. One last reference and we're done. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. We read this earlier. We'll read it again. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, you know, since we still have these bodies and still have that old nature, boy, that's a hard one to realize we need to obey, isn't it? Isn't it? And I hope and I pray, although I want you to know what's going on in the world, what I tell you and what you read about doesn't draw you down, but just makes you aware Satan's busy, and we need to be busier, serving God, making a difference. Brother Dan, when he's going through his study on the rapture, in a passage where it talks about the restrainer and when the restrainer is taken out. And I believe that that's the Holy Spirit, but there's other mention there where it doesn't say the church, but I believe the church also. But if the Holy Spirit is gone and he dwells within us, that's really what's happening. We're taking out no more salt and light. Now the Holy Spirit, omnipresent, he's still around, but the salt and the light is gone. And that's when things are even, can you believe it? Things are even going to get worse than what they are now. And the reason they are is because we're going to be gone and we're not the salt and the light. Are you salt and light? You need to be. That's why I provide you with information so you still will continue to be salt and light. Will you need to be long-suffering? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But remember, you're still salt and light. And you can make a difference locally and even nationally and in the world by obeying what God tells us to do. Today, we took an offering. What does that offering go for? Missionaries, to help to support them. Some countries they can't go out and get a part-time job and raise extra money. So that's part of our duty to God, to help others and be salt and light. Quite a challenge. Long-suffering. We all need more of that, don't we? We all need more of that. Let's pray before we go into our communion.